Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Where we talk the ins and outs of all our favorite fictional universes. I'm Andrew.
I'm Adam. Are we keeping that? We can't keep that.
I got through the whole thing. We're keeping Shalom Gamers. And today, I think this is how we do this. We are talking about the one and only Invincible. Probably not that. It's a pretty generic name, so there's probably...
Yeah, it's kind of just a word.
Invincible. We'll probably talk a little bit about season one, because I don't think we ever did, even though we meant to.
I know we meant to. I don't know if we actually
I don't
did,
know if though. We ever did. But there'd probably be some, like, comparing to season one and shit. But I don't know if there's even gonna be that, because forgive me, I watched... like the beginning of this second half of the season like a month ago, and then the rest of the season like 6 months ago or however long it's been.
So yeah, we should probably start there, because some of this isn't our fault. It still will be spoilers. You saw it in the title, and how are we going to talk about it without spoiling? But you know, but yeah, most of the reason the first half of this season isn't going to be super present in our minds is because of the huge hiatus between them.
Yeah.
That really seemed to just tank the momentum the show had.
Yeah. I kind of, like, when it happened, I was kind of like, oh, I guess that makes sense. It's like the holidays.
Well, I thought it was going to be a month.
Yeah, this is like a classic, like most TV shows do.
Oh, yeah, people... I was gonna get into this, yeah, but the mid-season hiatus is not an uncommon thing.
Yeah,
but it really hails back from when TV shows had 24 episode seasons.
Yeah, no, exactly. So I was kind of understanding with it. I was pretty busy at the time, even though, like, I was looking forward to the weekly Invincibles.
But it was the holiday, so like, I get
it. I wasn't, like, super bummed out. And then it went on for like 4 months, and I got me pretty mad. I'm like, dude, I would really love some Invincible right now. And it made us feel like we got two episodes this year.
Yeah. So I was watching this week to week when it came out as well, until the hiatus. And then I mostly only went back to watch. I think I waited a week between episodes so I could watch two at a time, because just one felt like nothing.
Yeah.
And I considered just watching, just waiting till the end and watching them all in one block.
Yeah, I know a lot of
people I was like,
just did that, because they're like, what's
I've already waited.
Month?
Yeah, what's one more month? Who cares? But I didn't, because my girlfriend wanted to watch them with me, so we just watched them two at a time. But yeah, I understand why they did it. Apparently, and this is a bit of a misunderstanding of the whole event. It wasn't because they hadn't finished animating. It wasn't like a thing to stop crunch or anything like that, which I think would have been fair. I don't want the people who make the things I enjoy to suffer.
No. And I'd rather it come out late and good than on time and unfinished.
But at least according to, like, the creators of the show and stuff like that, that's not why they took the break. They took the break for nebulous other reasons that haven't been made super clear to me.
There's been a lot of like just kind of vague statements about it, and no one really knows for sure why. They could have took that out and been like, yeah, it was to give us time to finish it.
Yeah.
I think most people would have been like,
I don't think anybody would have been like, no, I don't think so. Like, who cares at that point?
Because otherwise, why? I don't get it.
The best thing that I've seen that maybe explains it is it might have been something to do with some of the creators' contracts with Amazon. So it seemed like if they split it up between the different like quarters of the year, they could like it's better for the money on their end, and probably because it's better on the money for their end, better chance of more seasons is the best thing I've heard to try to explain it. But okay. I don't know if the math really lines up there. I don't know if the quarters.
That sounds like someone just kind of pulling shit out of their ass.
Yeah. So.
Look, if that is the case, good. If it makes more seasons for us, I'd rather have half a season every fucking half a year or whatever than no Invincible at all. Because, hey, even with that whole shit, is this one of the best shows on television?
We were being pretty negative right then and there. But yeah, the show is incredible. It's great.
It's so fucking good, dude. It's been so long since a show has had me glued to the fucking screen with every scene going on, to the point where, like, in most shows and everything, where they'll have, like, a fucking throwaway fucking scene joke or whatever, I'll be, like, real into it and, like, fucking being like, oh, that's so funny, I'm having a good time. But I'm like, we got shit to take care of. Can we get back to the important shit going on? And like, a lot of it's not even like that important of shit, but I'm just so engaged to. I mean,
oh yeah,
it's even when it is like way more important shit, like the last episode of the season, where I know, like, I'm like, we have so much to get through this episode.
Oh, yeah,
why the fuck are we fucking wasting time on this fucking mummy joke?
I knew the reason. Because it was the same joke they did last season in like the first or second episode. And Mark just flies by again and ruins the mummy plan again. And cares about the mummy.
It legitimately pissed me off because I was like, we had so much to fucking get through. Which, that is one criticism I'll give to the last episode. I'll commend them on this. They did get through a lot in a pretty short period of time, which they really needed to. But I feel like that should have been spread out more into like a two-parter finale sort of
either thing. A big two-parter, or I think it might not have fixed it, but I think having more Engstrom just throughout the season
would have
helped a lot, because it felt like he showed up early on, did his whole thing, and then was just gone.
Yeah, I mean, that is what happened. And that is one of my big things where I've talked about this show with a lot of people. And people love this season, and everybody's like, oh, I don't know if I like it better than, like, I don't know if I like season one or season two better. And my opinion is I like season one better only because it's one whole story that you're going on all these little side things with. But each episode
the overarching narrative telling is so
whole,
much stronger.
Yeah, a whole overarching narrative, where season two is episode one and episode eight tell a story, and everything else is its own episodic little self-contained stories, which are all still really good.
Bad. Yeah,
I just prefer the first method of what they were doing. And it makes a lot of sense with this season, because season one was, I think, like the first 13 issues.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was not that many issues from the comic from when that it starts to when Omni-Man turns.
Yeah, because that's a relatively small arc. comic yeah. book wise.
Where I think this is double. I think it goes from like 13 to like 15, whenever that is, to like all the way to like 36.
Yeah, because comic book wise, that was a couple of years in the making of that arc, right?
Yeah,
with a comic every month kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty big deal. And the Engstrom stuff was kind of sprinkled throughout all of it, but they had to drop so many of stuff because there's some like big chunks of story they had.
Yeah.
Like I was surprised they did the whole, what was that alien called? The Alan? Squids.
Oh, no, the Sequids.
Sequids. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm surprised they got through this whole thing in one episode.
Like half an episode, really.
Yeah. And that was like a pretty big deal in the comics and stuff. From like season one, they were pretty good at kind of condensing, cutting out the fat for stuff.
They're usually pretty good at cutting out the fat. I will say it felt like this season was trying to do a little bit of damage control from last season, as particularly with the character of Amber, who. Heaps of chuds online hate her, and I'm not.
Look,
I don't want to affiliate myself with them. I think she's a fine character. I will say probably a bit more time was devoted to her and her stuff and her and Mark's relationship than I would have preferred.
Yeah, look, I liked her in season one until they did that reveal of, oh, I knew you were invincible, but I'm still mad at you. Because then it colored all of her other actions in, like, a bad light. But, yeah, they did some damage control. I do like her a lot more now.
I feel like they could have just gone through the arc of her trying to be supportive, but it's still not working. I don't know if that needed to take through the whole season.
Yeah,
as opposed to setting up Engstrom for the whole season.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, I don't want to lose the slice of life stuff because that's some of my favorite stuff in superhero media. But I know in the comics, it just kind of wholesale disappears at this point.
Once he starts getting more attracted to Adam Eve and stuff, even like, he doesn't actually get with her but eventually he will, that kind of just drops out of the series entirely, which I wouldn't like, especially with this season they introduced a lot more slice of life with Debbie as opposed to with Mark, and I thought that was really cool.
I think we're probably still gonna get a lot of the slice of life stuff with Debbie, which I do really like. I just, you know, one of my favorite things in superheroes is the superhero human side of their life and everything, and seeing like the both, like, it's the whole reason everybody loves Spider-Man. And so losing that would suck, and we probably just are gonna kind of lose that, because if they want to get through everything,
touched any of the super mafia, the guy who turns into a dragon.
Am I forgetting? Did this happen this season, or did I just forget it? In last season, there was like a montage of like all the stuff to come, and then Doc Seismic had like those lava minions
guys.
Did they show up?
Yeah, when Mark is next to the Washington Monument and he's fighting them.
I don't recall that.
It's like pretty early on in the season.
Okay, that makes sense.
He's at the Washington Monument. The lava men are all around.
And he's like, what is this guy's deal with monuments? Because he fought him at Mount Rushmore last time.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I kind of remember that now. Basically, like, once Mark's, like, in the blue suit, we kind of lose all of the slice of life stuff. And I love the blue suit. So it's a bit of a good trade off. That's one thing I'll say. This fucking show, I get in the comic, he kind of just puts on the blue suit because
Mark Hamill's character.
He's like, hey, I made you a new suit. I didn't like the knee pads and shit on the other one because why would you need that? If your little brother's going to have yellow in his suit, you shouldn't have yellow in your suit. And for one, that's a dumb reason, because you're just tying them together, which if they're brothers, that's fine. That's a okay thing to do.
Yeah, dude, but everybody knows purple and yellow don't go together. Definitely not the super famous examples of yellow and purple working just fine, because is that what they call it? Complementary, when they're directly opposite each other on the color wheel?
Yeah.
Or are they contrasting?
Either way, they're good together. But no, they're
opposite of each other on the
it's not wheel. Because he's wearing, his skin's yellow and or his skin's purple and he's wearing yellow. It's because he makes him a suit. He makes him a Kid Omni-Man suit, which I've always hated that name.
Crazy.
But it's part of the, everybody kind of hates that name in the comic. But and his suit has yellow, and he's like, you guys can't both have yellow. Whatever. It's just, he gets it for like no reason. But this season, I was like, oh shit, they're going to do something big with the blue suit for why he's getting it. Because like each fucking episode, the title card starts with the fucking black and red title card slowly breaking away to have the blue and black one underneath. I was so excited for him to get the suit at the end of this last season, last episode, and for it to be a big deal. And then it just doesn't happen. It's like, guess we gotta wait for next season for that bullshit. And that actually made me mad. You could have done anything.
Probably
for
age up Oliver or something. And
because he ages super fast. So, like, by the time he'll be 6 years old. But yeah, because that's how it plays out in the comics. And like, I guess I'm mad at them for sticking to the comic when they could have done something better. And because, like, I know they could have, because they do that all the time in this show. They take something from the comic and they cut out all the fat and they just improve upon it. Like,
oh yeah, which, because Kirkman is so, the original creator of the comic book is Robert Kirkman, the Walking Dead guy, because he's so involved with this adaptation, when they do cut the fat and redo a whole thing to make it better, it just does feel better. And I don't think anybody should be mad it's not accurate. He's part of it.
Yeah, no, because what it is it's not like an adaptation being like, oh, what can we change? What can we make better? It's a author, a writer being like, okay, this is my chance at a second draft at it to like improve all the stuff that I wasn't happy with the first time. Which I think I like it. I don't see anybody who is mad at that whole idea, and anybody who should be. I basically don't remember
about the series in general. That like teaser we got real early on for season two, that's like a completely different animation style than what the season two actually was, which is real weird to me.
Oh,
so
the
teaser where Mark and Alan are in the diner. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I noticed that, and I kind of felt like that wasn't going to be the case, because the Adam Eve special came out, and then I was like, oh, this is really good. It kicks ass. And I figured, oh, this is just what season two is going to look like, because it feels like such a step up from season one. And then that teaser came out, and it is a different animation style and stuff. I think they were trying to go for more like, kind of like a juxtaposition of like, oh, this is a show they film, but this is them in like real, quote unquote, real life. Cause he's like reading an Invincible comic and stuff and shit like that. So I feel like that was an intentional move.
I feel like it was probably something they were originally going to try to go after, and it became prohibitively expensive.
I'm kind of glad they didn't, because there is a weird uncanny valley to it, like where it doesn't feel like this. Like, you have this image of what Invincible is supposed to look like in your head from season one and like the Adam Eve thing. And then when you watch that, it feels kind of off. So I'm glad they kind of just polished up the season one animation.
Yeah, I inclined to agree.
But anyways, yeah, what I was saying is I don't really remember basically anything before Mark was like, let me go into space and help these bug aliens. I can't recall anything that's really happened before that. Did he fight, was this season or last season that he fought a big sea monster?
This season twice?
Oh, yeah, this season twice. I meant where they find out that, like, the high-frequency, like, scream can hurt.
That was this season.
That
was, like, the second episode, I think.
Okay,
maybe the first, I don't remember. But, I remember that. That was the Aquarius's people are like, you gotta come down and face retribution for Omni-Man killing our king.
Yeah, and you Mark, gotta... Oh, that is,
Cecil told him he's supposed to marry her. But instead of, like, fight this giant fish monster.
That's sort of jogging my memory. That is something I really liked in the first episode, was I really liked Mark's approach to kind of dealing with everything that happened in the first season, where he's just like, I'm going to just completely throw myself into superheroing, and I'm going to just fix everything I can get my hands on and prove to the world that I'm not my dad.
Which is funny because that's how he starts the arc and how he ends the series.
Yeah.
He's like, I gotta drop out of college and really this time, really though, devote myself to superheroing. Which,
like, I really liked, because I was talking to you about this before, where I kind of am starting to find Mark as, like, maybe the most relatable superhero that I could relate to. Because I feel like that's the same move I would pull, like, straight from the get, where I'm just like, well, I fucked everything up. I hope I can make people think I can fix it all. And I would probably just
kind of... spend most of the season still fucking up. And being like...
Yeah, I feel like I would kind of... Like, I would be sort of a fuck-up in my normal life, where I'm, like, not paying attention to it and everything, and kind of hurting other people because of it, quote unquote, if anybody would actually care. But I would kind of make
in
stuff
your
work
life.
I would
that's
kind
a
of
crazy
make...
thing to say about your own life.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody would care if I was gone literally all the time.
I would kind of
Mad
be like
fuck, dude.
But then
dude,
I would
gonna text me like six reels at like 4 a.m. and I wake up to like fucking 8 reels, and I'm just like, okay, let me look through
them. Yeah, it kind of sucks that you don't respond to each one individually. Let's get to that, because each one I send, I'm like, oh, Adam's gonna like this, and then you'll
dude,
only
I can't respond
to like
that
the
many
last
things. I respond to whichever one I find the most interesting.
Anyways, but you would still get that, because I'd be flying through the air, patrolling the city or whatever,
great
looking at Instagram.
Phone.
Look at, dude, I would lose my phone so much if I was a fucking superhero. I'd have it in my little superhero spandex pocket, and someone would punch me in the fucking thigh, and it would turn to dust.
Even if they don't punch you specifically, they'll just hit you, you start rolling, and you just pull it out, and it's just a little box full of glass.
I would get real into like those like case sponsorships, like what is it, OtterBox or whatever. I'm like, yeah, OtterBox,
Tastify, not a sponsor.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, not yet. I'm like, yeah, they're great at keeping my phone semi intact when I'm fighting over the city.
Look, everything has its limits. I often drop it the size of a skyscraper, and it shatters to a million pieces, but I didn't expect it not to.
Yeah, I would definitely be the type to drop my phone and try to fucking race after it towards the ground, throwing my hands out and be like, oh fuck, please, please. And then both me and the phone smash into
the
floor.
I was going to say, you and the phone just crater into the ground.
But,
your OtterBox shatters, you got glass in your face.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, I related so hard to that. And then I related really hard to the end, to where it's not him going, oh, I need to learn life and superhero balance. He's like, no, it's just way more important for me to be a superhero to the world. So that's what I have to do. Like him
well,
having
he's gotta
that...
pull a DC Comics character and get a job that puts you in the realm of superheroes where you're going to hear about stuff going on. That's why so many superheroes are reporting.
No,
stuff,
yeah,
they hear about what's going on.
No, but he doesn't really need that, especially now, because he just has Cecil tell him, hey, go save this thing.
I was joking. And,
yeah, okay. But, like, he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need the cover.
He does need the money because Cecil isn't paying him, but he should start.
No, but I think they're, like, covered, like, for their life because Nolan was just a fucking great author, I guess. Like, a fucking...
Well, Debbie is or whatever, but, like...
No, she's a realtor. Nolan was an author who sold, like, best-selling books that they...
No,
like,
I know. I'm just saying, when he's at that restaurant and he's like, I'll get a job or whatever, because Cecil doesn't pay me.
Yeah. But I think he's just good financially for, like, ever, I guess. And
which is crazy, because clearly, well, they say, I think in an offhand remark, that Nolan's travel books were the real moneymakers. He just also wrote B sci-fi.
Yeah,
nobody read.
We're like shocked, yeah.
Which is crazy. I don't think anybody uses travel books in the age of the internet, really.
Yeah, but I guess people love the author. You know how, like, people will buy a Stephen King book just because it's Stephen King?
Yeah.
I guess they're buying
brings to mind the only, like, author like that I can think of who exists in the modern day. And if you can hear a leaf blower, I apologize. I think it's my neighbors cleaning out their pens. Is Anthony Bourdain? So does that mean Nolan could have had like a TV show on the Travel Channel where he goes to places and eats food?
Yeah, look, he honestly probably just could have. But I guess you don't want to put
your face crazy
too,
because he would just eat
there.
Them there. Because that's why he was a travel author. He would just fly all over the world or whatever.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. And then you could write a book at super speed or whatever, so you're good.
Yeah, but I guess he doesn't think it's super speed, right? And he's not, like, that fast. So,
I mean, you would have to.
I don't know if super speed would really help the writing process for him.
I guess he wouldn't
be faster at writing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. With super speed, there's kind of have to be the separate secondary power of, like, super perception, or else you're just not gonna be able to operate it.
But Nolan isn't that super fast. He moves at around the same speed Immortal and War Woman do when Red Rush is running around. Maybe slightly faster.
He's faster.
The speed comes from the air.
Yeah,
he's a fast flyer, but, like, just like super speed in general.
He's able to move fast, nowhere near as fast as, like, Red Rush. But he's able to, like, catch Red Rush and, like, grab him. And he's able to move where everybody else is, like, basically frozen. So, like, he is faster than those people. But I wouldn't say it's, like, Red Rush.
Yeah, he was only slightly faster than them. Because that's why he catches Red Rush when he's, like, stops running. When he gets grabbed. And then he puts his hands on him. And that's why it takes so long. Because he's barely moving while crushing his head.
Yeah, well, he's still moving. I think I'd have to watch the scene again, but in my memory, everybody else is frozen and he's still moving while Red Rush is moving at, like, normal pace. So, like, he is
moving
faster
at, like, an inch or so. He's barely moving,
but yeah, we don't know how fast.
And everybody else is also barely moving. They're just farther away. You see Immortal and War Woman moving slowly to get over to him to save Red Rush.
Oh, then, yeah, maybe. In my memory, they were the only two that were moving, and he was just moving in slow motion while Red Rush is just normal speed.
No, that's why it takes so long for him to crush his head, because it takes a second to crush his head. But he's so slow. Much time.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying he's moving where other people aren't, because he is, like, even if it is really slow, but because he's so fast, he can move where everybody else is still. But if they're moving
they're slightly moving to get closer to him.
Yeah, I would have to watch the scene again, but
I just don't know if that
it doesn't matter
a faster writer.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter if he is.
Because it doesn't make him think. Like, he's not going to get ideas faster, I don't think. You know what I mean? He's still going to have to sit there with writer's block and just write.
Yeah, but I guess if you're just, like, writing about places you've been, I don't know how bad of writer's block you would get.
Well, he's
just...
going to have to say something interesting, otherwise no one... I've been to Nepal. Okay. Yeah, what about Nepal?
I guess, look, to be fair, I've never read a travel book in my life. So I don't know what the context of a travel book is. But
they're supposed to tell you cool things to do. They're supposed to fill you with inspiration for what you should do.
But
if you go to this
that's
place.
Bullshit because he could do so much. What's he doing? Is he going on a fucking roller coaster on the fucking Santa Monica Pier? Like, who cares?
No,
for you
he's
at
going
that point,
to Nepal.
You're going to be fucking
and
bored.
Existing in Annapolis Village.
Yeah, but then that's the all you're doing. That's not like a fun event you're doing. If you're going to Nepal to go to a village, that's the event you're doing. You don't need tips on like what to do in that Nepalian village or whatever.
Well, he can tell you which village in Nepal to go, and I assume they keep saying Nepal because that's where Mount Everest, that's like how you get to Mount Everest, and clearly he loves Mount Everest.
Yeah.
He goes there all the time. So that's why Nepal is so important to him, but... yeah, I assume he's like, yeah, I went to this village
I'll give this to the writers of the show. Good way to sort of write around the your sort of resource usage of always using Mount Everest because you don't have to keep drawing Mount Everest over and over again. Keep drawing the city.
Yeah.
So if you just write around him being like, no, I love Nepal, Mount Everest. Kid.
Well, yeah, he loves Nepal and Mount Everest. That's where he takes Mark for their nice little heart-to-heart and where he beats the fuck out of him for
yeah.
that kind of arc cyclical thing. It's
yeah.
where their relationship kind of gets stronger and it's where it ends. There's something nice there, which I
yeah.
don't remember being in the comics specifically, but might be.
Yeah, I remember mountains being in the comics, but
it's been a long
time
since
always.
I read them.
Yeah, I read them at season one. So I watched season one, then I went back and read the comics all the way through, or mostly.
Oh, okay. I don't think I finished all of them.
I think I read them all the way
before
through.
Before Invincible was a show, I read some of them with my dad when we were big in the comics. And then when the show came out, I went back and read.
Yeah, I didn't read it at all before. So everything that happened in season one was a big surprise to me.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, I think I read... I don't remember how the... I remember a lot of the late events in the comics. Like the whole... Like them dealing with the whole Viltrumite War, then the robot, his whole deal and everything.
I remember liking the robot stuff. That was some of my favorite parts of it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it too much for those people who are avoiding the
yeah,
comics.
That would be big spoilers. We'd have to do a whole different spoiler thing for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, but I don't remember... I don't remember the ending of the comics, so maybe I never got there, or maybe I just...
I know I didn't.
Who knows? But yeah, that's something I am worried about with the show is... How are they going to handle heaps of time jumps, basically? Because, like, the first, like, I don't know, like, 50 issues are kind of, like, consecutive. Like, you could see this as, like, taking
yeah.
place in, like, a couple years sort of thing. But then it starts being, like, this is 5 years later. This is 30 years later. This is
yeah.
200 Once, years later.
You know, yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to come across.
But I don't know if they're even
going
to get to all of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I really hope they do. If they could nail this quality of the show from start to finish and have an ending like that where you're like, yeah, it's done. This is where it ends. This could be one of just the best pieces of media out there. Like, just...
Yeah, I could see that. I doubt they'll get that. I have a feeling they're planning at least for season three to be a big finale. Even if they do get picked up for more, they don't know that. So I get the feeling that they know they have a season three. That's probably going to be where they're planning to like if it has to be the end of the show, we'll do a pretty good one.
Yeah, I could see that too with the events that should take place in season three. I could see that being a pretty good,
which we won't get into here because that's also spoiler talk.
Yeah, it's a bit more obvious. It's a bit more obvious, and I think a lot more well known of what's to come up.
Yeah,
with like a lot of him.
But then I need to put a whole different thing in the title.
Yeah, with a lot of
beyond what we're talking about.
With a lot of him in the blue and black suit, I feel like most people who know Invincible kind of know what's gonna happen from that on.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, that's, we won't get into all that. But
for Spawn to show up, dude. When are they gonna bring in Spawn?
He's not gonna.
Or Savage Dragon, right? Is he? He's
Savage. Yeah, if Savage Dragon hasn't shown up yet, which he should have multiple times,
by now, not bringing. Yeah.
Because Spawn and Savage Dragon have pretty cool moments in the next, what would be in the next season. But that's not going to happen. I'm not going to get my hopes up. I got disappointed with Spider-Man. I was fully, okay, let's talk about that whole Spider-Man thing. I was fully content with being like, okay, they're just not going to do the Spider-Man. Like, I'm fine with that. Yeah. I understand it's a hard thing to do.
At one point, I was even like, they might even just focus on another alternate Mark, which will probably be better for the whole alternate Mark stuff that's going to happen.
Yeah. The thing that they did for Spider-Man really disappointed me. Agent Spider and Prof Ock,
that's pretty bad.
I'll give this. Agent Spider's suit looked like dog shit. It was bad.
Yeah, it kind of looks like dog shit.
And I have more faith that they could have done a better job. I don't know if they were intentionally making it look like dog shit, but
I know we had talked about it right
that
after.
That dude looks badass, dude. Having a helmet that carries you around, way better than arms on your back.
Helmet's got to be so rough on the neck, dude. Anytime he's gonna make a move,
that's why it kicked ass. You see him just dangling under his head, and it fucking rules.
All he would have to do is make him twist a little bit too wrong, and his head just comes off.
Spider-Man or Agent Spider or whatever, kicking him in the stomach and his body whipping back while his head stays stationary, and it just kills him.
Paralyzes him.
Dude, yeah, oh my god, if he did that and he's just his body's limply hanging there, he's just like, I can't move. I can't move. And Agent Spider or whatever.
So Agent Spider, like, I can't feel my legs.
I'm sorry.
Call the hospital. from what I gather, the Robert Kirkman and I forget his name, the guy who's like the showrunner for the show, said on Twitter that they never even contacted Marvel.
Is crazy because I feel like it would be possible right now with Amazon having that Spider-Man Noir show coming out that they're working on.
If that's coming out, I don't know.
There's ties between Spider-Man and Amazon as of right now. So I feel like it would have been the possibility. If anything, make it Spider-Man Noir if that's gonna happen, and you can kind of build hype for that show and everything, and that's just product placement for that character.
Yeah,
basically.
Which might be further evidence that that's not happening. Otherwise, they might have pushed for that kind of thing.
I think as of right now, Amazon has access to, I don't know if it's a full Spider-Man IAP or whatever it is, but I think they do have access to the Spider-Man Noir character that they can make content for.
But I don't know if the creative team at Invincible, because, and I think,
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This draws from a lot of the comic book history of Image Comics, where Invincible's from. Image Comics is very famous for every single writer owns the IP that they made. That's why it was created. They created it so that when you make a character, you own it, so they don't get fucked over by Marvel or DC, although Marvel is a lot more famous for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you'll have Ultron in the movies, and the guy who made Ultron gets nothing for it.
Mm-hmm.
So Image was always built ground floor up. That's not going to happen. And because of that, a lot of the Image creators, especially the ones who are kind of only Image creators like Robert Kirkman, they're very protective of their IPs, to the point where he owns Science Dog and they don't use him for Invincible. That's why they use Seance Dog.
Yeah.
Even though he owns that character outright. And he's explained he did that because he wants to keep the option open later for making a Science Dog show. And so it makes sense that he would keep out any of his... That's why the zombies that show up later in the season basically come out and say, we're not the Walking Dead.
I sort of get the idea, but when you're already in a multiverse, it's pretty easy to, even if you do later on do a Walking Dead or a Science Dog thing, you're just like, oh yeah, it's... Science Dog is fictional in this universe, but it's a real thing in this universe.
Well, I don't think it's for a canon or multiverse reason. I think it's an entirely outside of the fiction, outside of universe concept, where he doesn't want to entangle the rights of anything else he owns with stuff that he doesn't, like the TV show and working with Amazon.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. But like, even like the Walking Dead one, I felt like it was a bit, because you don't have to say, you don't have to call them walkers or Walking Dead or anything, but being so very out the gate, this isn't Walking Dead by them. I forgot what I think they say meat.
They say meat?
Or, yeah. Yeah. That just felt like a little
just,
much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm not saying I agree with this idea, but it does make sense.
Yeah, I understand.
An Image Comics creator.
Yeah, I understand his logic behind it. I just think it's a bit too extra.
Look, it's clearly worked out for him so far. Because he owned Invincible, and now it's, you know, a huge IP.
Yeah.
It's in Fortnite. He's making a ton of money.
That pissed me off.
Because of how protective he is of his own IP.
When I found out, so I was watching the episode, I thought he hit fucking Engstrom with a pipe. When I found out it was a Fortnite gun, it legitimately
that is really stupid. Mad. You told me that, and I was like, oh really? That kind of in retrospect makes the whole thing a little bit less cool. I'll just say it.
Yeah,
look. But I'm sure there was a certain person that made it way cooler.
Yeah, look, I was pretty happy when I saw Batman show up, because I loved that moment in the fucking comics of him fucking dissing on Batman and him doing it here again. I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. So for Billy Fortnite or whatever, even though that made me mad because he's like, oh, you're a man who dresses as a bat and your name is, and it's like, bro, you called yourself Invincible, dude. That's the most fucking generic ass fucking name.
Oh, yeah.
You could have gone with. You
called yourself Invincible. Your dad was Omni Man. You know a guy named Rexplode.
Okay, duplicate. That I would be less mad if he just stuck with that fucking naming convention of his universe.
Yeah,
because like, what a fucking asshole for him talking heaps of shit on people's names.
Well, it's a generational thing, right? Because none of the original Guardians of the Globe have that naming convention. It's War Woman, Immortal, Aquarius, Green Ghost, Man, Red Rush, Green Ghost, that kind of thing. It's all of the teen guys, or I think that's the
yeah.
That's
I assume it's some sort of like fad, basically.
Yeah. So that's why all of the teen soups. I forget. They have a name, but the only one I can think of is the one from The Boys.
They're the teen team.
Are they, or is that from The Boys?
No, I think that's Invincible. I think it's
no.
The, teen team.
The Boys is Teenage Kicks or whatever.
Yeah, way worse.
Yeah, dog shit. Both are pretty bad.
But the teen team, you can understand that it's just like some PR group went. Yeah, this would be good for marketing or whatever. This is an easy sell. It's an easy name for people to remember. It's gonna help you get popular. But fucking Teen Kicks or whatever sounds like a
Teenage Kicks is fine. That's a regular phrase people used to use.
Yeah, I guess it's not a good name.
It comes from the same place as, you know, getting your kicks or whatever.
Yeah. That doesn't make it, just because it's from something, doesn't make it a good name.
But regardless of that, that's besides my point. It seems like the teen team, a lot of their names follow the your name insert for namings. And not even all of them. Robot doesn't do that yeah. kind of thing. But yeah, but given the naming convention that Invincible's peers have, his name, and I've said this before, his name should be like Remarkable or some bullshit like that. Something that has Mark in it.
Yeah.
But that's why, and I've said this before to you, there should be another guy out there whose name is Remarkable and his name is like Vince or something.
Yeah, look, it'd be pretty good if they did that. And it would satiate me for being a bit for thinking he's a real asshole for it. But yeah, speaking of the teen team and shit, goddamn how impressive it is for this show to make me really care about fucking Rexplode.
Like,
because he had a similar like arc and stuff in the comics and everything, and he has some good moments that are to come. But I did not give a shit about this guy, and especially in the show, because in the comics he's an asshole, but them getting what's his name? Nick Grohl?
The
other guy.
Who, from Community, where he yells at Chang.
Yeah, he's in...
Is it
like
Jason Mantzoukas?
Yeah, maybe. The guy who plays him, he plays in other stuff. He always plays sort of this asshole type of guy. He's in show Big Mouth.
It's because he's very sort of New York.
Yeah, his voice is easy to hate. And them using them to voice this character who's easy to hate made me very easily be like,
yeah,
this
right.
guy
Jason
sucks.
Mantzoukas.
Yeah, okay, cool. It made me very easy to be like, this guy fucking sucks and I hate every time I see this guy. Even though he's got cool powers, I like to see him as part of fights and everything.
He's got cool powers, yeah.
For this fucking show to be like at the end of this season to make me go, fuck, I wish Rexplode was here heaps of the time. It's crazy to me. That's insane were able to do that.
The arc the arc they pull off for him is great. When they just do the small thing where he loves interior design magazines. So good.
Yeah, no,
just that heavy implication that it's because he never had a home, so he likes looking at homes.
Yeah, no, that shit kicks ass. He's in one of the fucking best fights of the season. That fight with the Lizard League is crazy good.
Yeah. It is. They do a bit of it in the Adam Eve special, but that Beefcake dude in the Lizard League, he's fucking way above his weight class hanging out with the rest of the losers and jobbers. Fucking
Shrinking Ray expanding into him and him just fucking tanking that shit,
just eating is that shit crazy. Almost literally. Yeah,
yeah, no, that that's fucking insane.
Where she breaks then, her bones trying to break him.
Fucking Rex at the end soloing the three of them, where he fucking has to take out that guy, which, like, that's already a fucking challenge. He's fucking gets his hand bit off, shot in the head. Fucking, I forget what the other girl's powers are. I think she's got blades. Did she have blades?
Yeah. I think she had blades. I know she had claws, and she might have had
I might be mixing her up with some of the fucking Serpent Society from Marvel.
It's crazy that's a thing comic book universes have.
Just like a fucking...
DC has Cobra. The snake themed.
It's a cool thing to do. You do a reptilian snake themed fucking group of people. A bunch of guys.
Do we have one of those in real life?
I don't know. Because, like, what are you going to do if you have if you have one snake themed villain? That's okay. That's a guy or whatever. Once you have like two or three. You can't have all those guys just running around separate from each other.
I don't know the history of the Lizard League in Invincibles canon, but that is how it worked in Marvel. There were all a bunch of individual snake-themed guys who were like, let's create a snake-themed supervillain union.
Marvel needs to do that shit with the ape guys. They got way too many unrelated ape guys running around. We need a team of ape villains
DC just too.
Kicking the Avengers' ass. Not the enough apes in Gorilla Grodd. I don't remember any apes.
Yeah, there need to be more apes.
There needs to be
at least one ape guy.
Yeah, they need... But
Invincible tries to do a new twist, it'd probably be an ape hero.
Like, yeah, ape I could see that.
Or whatever.
What they could do is bring in that cyborg ape from Spawn and have that be...
Shut up.
Oh no! Okay, what they need to do? Cyborg Ape? No, he kicks ass. He's legitimately Spawn's best villain. But what they need to do
that
is
might
take...
be true because Spawn has dog shit villains.
Nah, Spawn kicks ass, dude.
Who's your favorite? What's it called again? Anti-Spawn.
Anti-Spawn, dude. Spawn. He's just Spawn, but he's got a fucking massive cross on his head. He's got a spike mohawk going down his back. He's got a big royal purple ass cape. He's got fucking cross fucking lapel clasp on his cape. He kicks ass, dude.
Anti-Spawn is so stupid.
So because of Invincible, I have like the first volume of the massive Spawn compendium. I'm like, let me fucking get on the Spawn train. Let me start reading Spawn again. And I'm fucking reading it. Anti-Spawn shows up. And I got so legitimately excited about it. I'm saying that I'm reading my book. And I'm giggling
right
like
then,
a little kid going, ooh. It fucking rules, dude.
I like the animated Spawn show that was on like MTV or whatever. That dude, was good. If anything else related to Spawn is kind of dog shit.
Yeah, look, to be fair, Spawn is a fucking goofy ass fucking comics made to sell goofy ass toys.
Villain. Or not villain. He's based on because Todd McFarlane really likes drawing Venom and he couldn't draw Venom anymore, so he just made Venom again.
To be fair, I will agree that most of everything Spawn is goofy dog shit, but Spawn himself kicks mad ass.
If you want to hear more of our Spawn talk, listen to our audio commentary of the dog shit movie.
I forgot that's one of the only fucking movies. I think it's like Scooby-Doo, like the three Spider-Men, and fucking
Spawn. And fucking Spawn.
That gets out. But you can hear in that,
I'm not having a good time.
It's a great. I think when we recorded that, I had like the worst headache, and like I was like had not too much sleep, and I was not in a good headspace. But I gotta go back and listen to that because maybe it's a good time. I gotta watch Spawn.
You gotta do it while watching Spawn. Yeah.
But
okay. Anyways, but so, what did you think of this season as a whole?
I don't know, dude. I was so psyched for so much of the stuff going on, and we didn't even touch on heaps of the shit. I like the fucking whole arc he has where he goes to what's her name?
It's Thraxons.
Yeah, where he goes to the Thraxons planet and like him. Just dealing with his dad there even before any of the action starts is so fucking good. Like I said at the beginning of the season, him just dealing with the aftermath of being a fucking sad superhero, fucking losing himself in the superhero life is fucking great.
Yeah.
When he comes back, even the slice of life stuff.
I think one of the biggest weaknesses the show has is their romance plots. Amber and Mark, I wanted to call him Vince there. Amber and Mark are fine. I think they're one of the better ones. I like William and Robo dude. I forget his name.
Yeah.
They're fine too.
Yeah, that relationship just kind of skeeves me out a bit because it feels like he's grooming that guy.
Yeah, which is weird because it kind of felt the reverse when they first met, where that guy, I forget that guy. What the fuck is that guy's name? I want to say Brad,
but it might just be because he looks like a fucking basic bitch white boy in college and they're all named
but
Brad.
Anyway, that guy seemed so much older than William.
Yeah.
That it felt weird when they were together. Now it feels weird.
Because the guy...
They had basically one date. Yeah.
And he's sort of decided he's the most important guy in this guy's life, and he's sort of building his life around it. I don't like the whole weird thing.
But there's some sweet moments with what's his name? Is his name Donovan? I want to say Donald.
Donald.
Donald and him talk.
Yeah, I love Donald heaps. I love.
He rules. I'm not mad conflict. That you said he was me when he first showed up on screen.
Yeah, that shit kicked ass.
Damn, I didn't know I was in this show. But yeah, Donald kicks ass. Just in general, I will say I think romance is one of the weaker arms of the show. The stuff with Immortal and Duplicate felt really skeevy to me. I know they try to talk about how it's not, but it felt real weird.
Yeah, one of the
stuff
ones...
with Nolan and Kim Wexler was weird too, so I don't know.
I think the Nolan and Debbie stuff is really strong, because it's not a good relationship, but there's still clearly love between them. Like the line he has at the end of this fucking show, where he's like, "I miss my wife," hits really hard.
That was so funny. No, it does, but the tension was immediately cut because I was watching it with my girlfriend Sadie, who sometimes on the show, and she went, "When you're hanging out with your friends and the I miss my wife kids."
Yeah, that kicks ass. Dude, I can't wait to see more of him and Alan hanging out. That's some
Me
of my
too.
Favorite bits from the comics, and after Alan just becomes like a fucking unstoppable force, I love him so much. His whole episode,
I like that
this
he's basically Doomsday for the Invincible universe, but as a good guy, like I was saying.
What do you mean?
Because every time you kill him, he comes back stronger, kind of thing.
Oh yeah, I guess he's like his people's science experiment of making basically a super soldier.
He's good Doomsday.
Yeah, that does kind of kick ass. But yeah, all that shit. The fucking last episode.
Optimus Prime being a secret Viltrumite, which secret, I don't know how anybody didn't know. He's got a beard instead of a mustache. He can't be a Viltrumite. But having Optimus Prime was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Even though, no, actually, no, I'll say the opposite of that. It really bothered me that his voice was just Optimus Prime's voice. Because, like, I would look away from, like, the fucking TV and I would imagine Optimus Prime. Peter Cullen? I'm like, you could do anything else for this guy? You couldn't make yourself sound a bit older? Like, you're already an old man. Just do a bit of a natural voice for Optimus Prime. Instead of just for this guy, what's his name? Thaddeus, I think his name is.
Thaddeus. Thaddeus. Something like that.
Yeah, he's.
I don't know how he fooled anybody. He was so clearly a Viltrumite or a human. There's kind of no other option.
Yeah,
and he clearly wasn't a human. So,
Last season was so good. As long as they keep this quality, this show's gonna be fucking great as long as it goes.
I do hope we get more of those special episodes, like the Adam Eve origin.
Dude, yeah. Getting now I would really would like Rex. A Rex one. Like before, I would have probably hated that shit, but now I'm fucking clamoring for it.
Going through his terrible childhood of his dad raising him to be a weapon, that kind of shit, that would be cool.
If we want a lot of the later stuff to hit a good bit harder, having one for Robot would be really good.
Yeah. Even though I think a lot of Robot stuff you kind of already got in season one. Not like his origin, but a lot of the kind of driving themes of his character, I feel like we're already.
Yeah, I think he's a pretty. Yeah, and even in this season, I think he's a pretty solid, well-rounded character.
Yeah,
like with him dealing with Monster Girl a lot.
Yeah, at least not on his origin. If they had a special episode that was just like.
Yeah, that's more what I meant. I sort of forget that episode is all Adam Eve origin stuff and not just a cool Adam Eve episode.
But I would like more of those. I think those would be cool.
Yeah, I like when the other villains show up, like that fucking laser hand cannon guy that keeps popping up.
That guy who is Adam Eve's nemesis in the comics, but here it's just like a jobber. Anybody beats the fuck out of.
Poor guy, because he gets his ass fucking kicked.
Yeah. And it seems, aside from his laser robot arm, he seems like a normal guy. So getting punched.
Well, I think he's got like robot armor on, so like he can tank a punch to the chest and the head or whatever. But still, it's not going to be great.
I will say, and I know they're primed for it because that's really more when it happens. But I would have liked some of the. Oh, I'm blanking on his name. The dude who turns to rock. What do they call him?
Oh,
he's now the mobster. I had his name, but
he's
played with Mashallah Ali. Favorite actors.
All I can think is to call him the king because of the fucking song they play when he shows up, where it's like "Walk like a king,
hail to the chief,
talk like the king." Concreto.
That guy's really cool. I really like that character a lot.
Yeah, no,
they primed some really cool stuff for him, and then we just. Don't see him again.
I don't know if it's gonna happen, because if it was gonna
said he's gonna be in season three. That's what they said on
fair. I just don't see where the room for him would be.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
But to be fair, I think that a lot with this show, and then it ends up surprising me. Like, I really didn't
And then they condense the Sequids down to, like, half an episode.
Yeah.
So.
Like, I really didn't think we were gonna get, all the stuff for Alan, other than in, like, fucking two-minute chunks here and there spliced throughout the episodes. But then they had a whole ass fucking
episode. Yeah.
Which is one of the best episodes of the season.
I think it's really fun. Yeah.
It kicks ass. I love the fucking title card for it. I love that it fucking opens with him being like, what if we didn't pay attention to Mark having sex and then cut to Alan having sex? That kicked ass.
But I get the feeling they will probably condense, honestly, a lot of the like Viltrumite stuff, if I had to guess. There'll probably be a lot more.
I don't know. The Viltrumite stuff's a pretty big thing. So next season, I don't think it'll be, too much of the Viltrumite. I think the Viltrumite War will be season 4 stuff, if that happens.
If it happens, I think that's what it'll be.
That's definitely where it's going to be. I hope that stuff gets pushed. Because, I don't know, it could be they pretty quickly jump back, which I don't think they should, but they'll jump back and open the season, the first half of the season, will basically be Invincible War, which I hope Invincible War isn't, for those who know what it is. I hope that isn't one episode, because that would be...
Oh, that would suck. That would,
I think with what they... Because I would have said the same thing before with the Levy stuff that happened in this episode. I would be like, oh yeah, they need way more than one episode for it. But I was actually pretty surprised they pulled it off.
Probably did. Like I said, I think it would have been better as like a two-parter.
But I don't think I would be massively disappointed in what they do, even if it is only one episode. Because they're just so good at pulling that shit off. But I do think it should be...
Just to set up who all of the different Invincibles are, I think you're going to need at least a little bit of screen time for each, and that adds up quickly.
I mean, I think it... So they don't really have that in the comics. Like, they don't go into... It's kind of just like, this is the one...
Well, that's because they can kind of just pop up with a little bar to be like, this one's a cannibal or whatever.
So I don't think they need all of that, but I think it would be a much better arc if they did get...
That's my thinking. And they're pretty competent writers, so I feel like that's kind of the path they're going to go. And I feel like people... Well, I think your average person would just be like, holy shit, lots of Invincible. But I think like anybody who's really kind of paying attention or whatever would not be served by them just being like, there's a whole bunch of marks. They each do a different thing. Who cares? But Jacket Mark was cool as hell.
Jacket Mark was cool as hell. Seeing what people call Sinister Mark in this season, where it was... He was the one with the cape that he was like, poor Angstrom. That was such a good fucking scene. I love that shit. So I want more of that before.
Before they the actually payoff show of the Invincible up and War. Kick Mark's ass. Mark's got to get so much better at fighting, man. He gets his ass kicked often. Even after it feels fucking... like they're doing like, this is where he starts getting good, like when he's fighting, I forget her name, chick with the blade in her hair.
Something with a TH.
Tharissa, maybe?
Tharissa, maybe? Oh, we didn't even talk about.
The lady.
Anissa? No, her name's Anissa. I really liked her in this show. Because in the comics, she kind of shows up and it's like, she feels like she's evil for evil's sake,
seems a little more nuanced here.
Which we didn't see much of her, but I really feel got that.
I liked
sense
how
from
sort
her.
Of pragmatic she felt.
Yeah,
that was cool. In the comics, she's a lot more bombastic kind of thing. She's a lot more if she had one, because for some reason female Viltrumites don't. But if she had one of the mustaches. Feels like she would be like a mustache twirling villain in the comic.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, she's kind of just like a very practical person, which I like. That makes me hesitantly optimistic for a scene that honestly I hope just doesn't happen. But if it does happen, hopefully they'll take it with a little more tact than they do in the comic the second go around.
Look, we've talked about that scene, and I think the scene itself, which I know a lot of people were fucking disappointed that.
There's a lot of chuds out there who are...
For one, it doesn't even happen then. It happens later.
Yeah.
But it's weird to be disappointed that that didn't happen. But
you showed me that one video where a guy was like, referred to that moment as Mark learning to be a man.
Yeah, that really fucking grossed me out. That sucked. But I don't like the scene itself to the point where, like, I even, like, in a reread of the comic one time, just, like, kind of skipped over it.
Yeah.
But I like later on, like, with her character arc, with Mark in the audience, it sort of tests our capacity for forgiveness for a character, because you have them do this insanely vile thing, and then, like Nolan and everything, they're like, no, I've, because of Earth, because of the people I've, like, lived with and everything, I've learned love and compassion, and I have regret for those
not
actions.
To spoil it, but it, that's for almost all of the major named and living Viltrumites by the end of it. They all kind of get their redemption arcs, which I don't know if I'm super into the idea of them trying to do that here. It's very simplistic, I think.
I like it because it seems like I'm a sucker for, I know our world's got a lot of problems and everything, but I'm a sucker for whenever in media and fiction, like, the human superpower is hope, it's compassion, it's empathy. While no matter, like, there'll always be bad stuff going on, those scenes will thrive. And I like them kind of looking at it like it's sort of like an infection, like we can't really fight this thing. Like, this is such a... what is it? What do you call, like, a laughter or a disease that you catch?
Infectious.
That, I don't think that's the word I was looking for. Contagious. It's such a contagious thing. Yeah, it's such a contagious thing from them. That we can't, like, that's how we win against them. And I like that heat.
Sure.
But
yeah. I do think doing it for, like, including Nolan, what is it, like,
four or five times characters? Back to back? Yeah.
Yeah. Especially given our current kind of media climate. The redemption arc is kind of fallen out of favor. It was really big in the early 2000s, and it's kind of become a cliche at this point. I think, what is it? I never watched it really, but Steven Universe has a lot of flack for that online, where it's like every major villain, even the ones who do genocides, get a redemption arc kind of thing.
Yeah, and if they do
and
it...
people don't like that.
I am a bit of a sucker for a redemption arc, but if it's overdone, I can agree with that. Which I don't think the Invincible comics sort of overdo, because they group those Viltrumites into, like, one sort of group. So it's kind of like it happened to Nolan, then it happened to these guys, instead of it being like, it happened to Nolan, then her, then him, then him.
Yeah. Though I will say it happens narratively. I forget how much specific time it is, but fast. Like, Clancy Brown's dude, not Eye Patch Guy, Robot Eye, where he goes from, like, this big general in the Viltrumites to, like, a dude who loves riding his motorcycle and shit. Like,
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Like, because with, like, Nolan, you get, like, a whole lifetime out of it. With them, right. I think it's, like, something like 5 years, maybe.
Something like that, yeah.
But, yeah, no, I'd agree. But anyways, we've talked heaps
yeah,
about
this. Yeah,
we've
talked for ages. Show. Number score. I asked that ages ago.
Oh, yeah, you did. We were going to wrap up fucking ages ago. Look,
like,
dude.
40 minutes ago or something.
If I'm just judging it as a TV show compared to other TV shows, you know what? This one deserves, like, an actual number score. 9.5, if not 10 out of 10.
Holy shit. He didn't say, like, 14 or 32 or whatever. Wow.
I think I would say 9.5 just because we have had these small criticisms.
I'm inclined to agree. I would say 9.5. It's nearly perfect. Mm-hmm. And, like, nearly perfect, it's to our taste, not necessarily
everybody. Exactly.
I'm sure for a lot of people it is essentially perfect. But yeah, it's still it's incredible, which, hey, that's close to his name.
Oh, incredible. That. Yeah, that would be my name from IOC, and my name is Creddy Benz. That's just
Craig? Incredible?
That's just a fucking kid from iCarly. That's just
Shazam kid, yeah.
No, fucking Freddie Benson. Oh, no,
I was thinking of Freddie, yeah. Freddie Benson?
Yeah, Freddie Benson's the kid from iCarly. It's worse.
Oh, he's the camera guy, yeah.
It's the fucking ship name of Carly and Freddie together. And Freddy. Then his last name. Great fucking show. I love
we talked about this before. My name doesn't really work for the Invincible name.
Yeah, yours kind doesn't of either. Your name, my name.
Mine's too easy, and yours is too hard.
Yeah, your name sort of takes all the fun out of it. Or I was like talking to you about it, where you could easily be like Atom Bomb or Atom Smasher, and that shit. Yeah, that's real easy to do, but. ADA and Atom Bomb would be a way fucking more kick-ass name.
That
is so cool.
That rules. That kicks ass.
But yeah, I just don't know.
They don't have a version of the Human Bomb, the old DC character. I'd fill in that.
Yeah.
But I am like an atomic explosion. He's just like a hand grenade.
That kicks ass. And then, yeah, my name, I just don't Your think name works just
doesn't
well
really
with,
work for it. Yeah. Puns.
I like, we could cut it down. To like probably Andy or Drew or whatever and have it fucking fit things.
Kind of work.
Like if I was like a bloodbender and my name was Drew Blood, like when you draw the past tense of blood.
Yeah.
I remember you said Drew Gooder, which that's probably the best one.
Yeah,
that
that's what I said. That Drew was like Gooder a Drew Gooder or Drew Gooder.
So if you want to let us know what you think about the name Drew Gooder and
if Atom, you have a better
yeah if you got a better
for, if you have a better Invincible name, OC name for yeah, Andrew
with the name Andrew let us know
and you genuinely because I can't think of a single good one.
You could do that at our email at hold on.
The atomic email
at the atomic. I would have got there eventually. I was like, the Atom email.
Okay, but I've got to edit out the dead silence.
Okay, fair enough. Or our social medias. This one I know. Atomic Android 2020 on pauses. Instagram.
Okay. Or at Atomic Androids on Twitter.
Yeah.
We are something on TikTok, but I don't like TikTok.
I don't remember our TikTok at all. Sorry about the
speaking of
Rocky.
Emails, we got an email. Somebody wanted us to play Rain World. Maybe.
What's Rain World?
It's a video game. I think it's hard. It's like a 2D platformer or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, whoever asked us to play Rain World, I don't
we
know.
We might, probably not.
I forgot what I was gonna. Oh yeah. Apologies for the rockiness of us trying to remember how to do things. And our crazy. We probably have already apologized for this multiple times in the last few episodes. Our dog shit release schedule. It's really hard to record episodes right now because me and Adam have opposite work schedules, basically.
Yep.
So, sorry. You know what?
Enjoy your monthly episode of In Universe.
Yeah, we'll try to get at least bi-weekly episodes out, 2 a month.
Once every 2 weeks, not twice a week.
Those things that mean the same thing, for some reason. Apologies for that.
Poor planning.
Bye. In
I don't know why I waved.
They can't see. I mean, ours. I mean, if we wanted to start doing fucking video now, we could.
I don't want to. I don't think either of us got faces fit for video. We're ready.
Look,
boys.
I would like to do. Okay, you didn't need to toss me into that. You could have just been self-deprecating. I would like to at some point, but I feel like we need to do it in person. and have a bit of a set.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah, which is what most people do. I don't think most people are doing.
Yeah, you know, posting their Zoom calls or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, I don't know if ended this or not, or this is all the end card. If it's not the end card, here you go. Here's an end card. Flamingo!
That's a dog shit. That's end card, dude.
Well, they just keep the whole thing.
That's probably the maybe, end card.
And then maybe he'll... If you keep the whole thing, if you keep
maybe
this
it'll loop back around.
4 minutes. Yeah.
If you keep talking,
if you keep this four, shut up. Let me finish. If you keep this 4 minute or whatever fucking ramble I did after we finish the episode, maybe it'll be a funny end card.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.